When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Second to the last day of Art Sound Off 2015. And if you don't know what that is, here's the 20 second version. See if we can do it in 20 seconds. I and a bunch of other visual storytellers are getting together, checking in once a day with an audio essay, journal, reflection, recording it in audio, sharing it online with the Art Sound Off hashtag. And that's where you can find, you go to twitter.com, look for the Art Sound Off hashtag. You'll find all the posts, or go to twitter.com/Art Sound Off to see the retweets of all the posts. And all the information about the event is at artsoundoff.com, including the prompt for today's essay. At least I'm using the prompt today. And it's talk about day 29. Talk about one of your favorite characters of all time. What makes them tick and why does that work for you? Another terrific thinking exercise. And once again, I'm going to give Rob credit for this one. And I'm guessing I'm going to give you 3, 2, 1. Guess who I'm choosing? Not He-Man. Although, yes, he is one of my favorite characters of all time. I'm going to choose another one that I've talked about in the past. And I talked about him a little bit during a Nerd Night talk I did here in Ann Arbor. A few months back. Was it months back? I don't know. I don't remember when I did it. It was a while ago. And it's a character from the 2001 Transformers cartoon series called Transformers Robots in Disguise. And his name was Skybite. And Skybite was a bad guy. And he was, I'll just describe him, like, you know, what I think is so great about him. And then I'll see if I can find the whys in the description. How about that? So first of all, visually, he is a transformer who can turn into a shark. The shark can fly, but it can also swim through the ground like water. So like there's many episodes that start with him with just his fin coming out of the street, and then he'll smash up through the concrete and transform and then shoot his like tsunami blaster laser out of his chest, which is a great visual. It's very striking. That wouldn't be enough to make me say he's one of my favorite characters of all time, but that's certainly enough to get me to check in at the door, right? And it's like, all right, let's see what we got here. Neil Kaplan described him, Neil Kaplan was one of the voice actors on the show. He once described Skybite as a Shakespearean actor forced to play second banana. And I think that's a pretty terrific summary of what Skybite is about, because he is, I would describe him as an artist at their worst. He's vain, he's arrogant, he's needy, but he's also vulnerable. And that's, I think, the key to what makes me love him so much. When I say Shakespearean actor forced to play second banana, he's the second in command of the Predacons, the bad guys in the series. And he adores Megatron, his leader. Like, he really, really wants to please Megatron. He wants Megatron to acknowledge his greatness. It's not that he wants to please Megatron in a selfless way. He wants Megatron to tell everybody else in the Predacons how awesome Skybite is, right? And then along comes this other character named Scourge later on in the series, and this kind of sibling rivalry kind of kicks up where Scourge becomes Megatron's darling, and that just makes Skybite go even more crazy, where he just tries to prove himself more and more and more. And why is he trying to prove himself? Is he trying to be, you know, again, it's not a selfless thing. It's a completely self-centered sort of wanting to prove himself, his value to Megatron. And then the marvelous thing when you say like the Shakespearean actor forced to play second banana is that nobody respects him. And that's what makes it so great to watch. It's fun to watch fictional characters strive really hard. And Charlie Brown, right? Watch him fail over and over again, right? That's we all sympathize with that because we all feel that. But then, like I said, there's this vulnerability to him. First of all, he's a poet, right? He's the second in command of the bad guys. He turns into a shark. He shoots lasers out of his chest, but whenever he's in battle, he is inspired to recite haikus. And he's like, I just came up with a new haiku. And then he says it aloud. The sensitive soul of the artist, right? He's moved. He's arrested by the beauty of what's happening around him. But it's also one of his vulnerable points, because if you critique his poetry in front of him, that's the fastest way to get under his skin, as it were. And there's an episode where, you know, Optimus Prime shows up and does just that, and Skybite freaks out when Optimus critiques his semiotic cohesion. And again, so like, it's fun to watch him struggle and fail, and that would be enough to get us on board with him. But just like Charlie Brown, If we didn't see the vulnerability too, if it was just watching a vain, arrogant, and needy character constantly get into trouble trying to set up a scheme to self-aggrandize and then fail, that's sort of like a funhouse mirror parody of a character. But because the writers took care to show his vulnerability and show that he's a flawed person, right? Like all of us, right? So then we empathize with him. At least I empathize with him. I don't sympathize. I don't go, oh, yes, I also would like to do those things in order to get other people to tell me I'm great. But I certainly empathize with his motivation of like, yes, it's frustrating to believe in oneself and not always get what we consider to be ample reward for the effort and unique wonderfulness about us as an artist, right? And there's this moment in the series, there's a number of moments, but there's a couple moments that really stand out to me as exemplifying why I love this guy so much. And the first one, it comes from an episode called The Fish Test, which is like episode 15 or 16 in season one. And it starts out with him taking an online personality test. And that's one of the marvelous things about that series, Robots in Disguise. Like, it didn't take itself seriously. It let itself be funny. But it starts out with Skybite taking an online personality test. And in the test, you remember these, right? Like, which hobbit are you? Which, the sorting hat test from Harry Potter, right? And Skybite finds out that it's a fish test, right? So he finds out he's a jellyfish because he's spineless. And then the whole episode is him trying to prove the online personality test wrong. But then after a number of failures in the episode, there's this moment where the sun's setting on the ocean and he's in shark mode sitting on this rock contemplating his situation, looking up at the sky, and he has this soliloquy of, alas, so the predictions have proven true.
Alas, so the predictions have proven true. I have always thought of myself as one who strikes fear into the hearts of many, a shark with an iron will, but it turns out I'm a jellyfish. That online personality test was right. I don't deserve to have fear.
Hey, Skybite! Hmm. We've been thinking, why don't we hit a power plant ourselves?
Just like Scourge, only we'll do it better.
Great idea! I'm glad I thought of it.
He thought of it? Where'd that come from? Fantasyland?
They ought to revoke his poetic license.
Yes! I am a shark! I'll show the world I'm not a jellyfish!
And then, at the end, you know, his friends show up, the other Predacons, and they like try to get his spirits back up. Like, hey, why don't we go do our own thing, right? And what does Skybite do? He snaps right back to his obnoxious self, right? So he can be vulnerable, but let's never forget that he's also obnoxious. And then there's an episode that didn't air on television, but you can find it on YouTube, and I will link to it in the show notes. And it was called Skybite Saves the Day. And I didn't actually get to see this until the DVDs came out. And in retrospect, I can understand why, because the show was airing in 2001, September of 2001. We remember what happened that day. And the episode largely revolves around the Predacons attacking a building with people in it, trying to topple it down. I get it. Yeah, it probably was a good idea that they didn't let that one air. But in retrospect, you know, 9/11 aside, there's this moment in the series where Skybite, after attacking the tower, decides that he needs to hold the tower. He needs to keep it from falling because he's got a bargaining chip. He's got hostages that he can bargain with against the Autobots. The humans in the building don't understand. All they think is that he's trying to save them. And suddenly they start cheering him. That's it, Skybite. You can do it, Skybite.
Good news at last. For reasons no one can explain, the Predacons are actually helping keep the tower up.
Skybite is our hero?
I don't believe it.
Well, let's go, Skybite! I believe in you! You're doing a great job! Don't give up! Keep it up, Skybite! You can do it!
Hey, wait! Why would they like us?
They're cheering. For me, I've never been cheered for in my entire life. I wish Megatron would cheer for me once. Come on, men! Save the hostages! Don't let them fall!
I'm never doing another plan of his again!
In that moment, when he says, I wish Megatron would cheer for me for once, is just like, it shows us that his motive isn't to make people suffer. His motive is to get cheers, appreciation, and who doesn't want to be appreciated, right? So again, it's an empathy thing. The best part of the way they handle the character in that series, and this is going to be some spoiler stuff here if you're really going to sit down and watch it. I don't expect many of you will. So I'll just throw this out there as just food for thought. Towards the end of the series, Skybite kind of becomes a good guy. And they've already showed that he's not evil. He's just a selfish child. But the best part of how he becomes a good guy is not through some kind of magnificent, epic transformation of character. It's very true to the character that they've established throughout the series, where it's kind of accidental. The Decepticons very early in the series steal this doctor, this human scientist named Dr. Onishi, and they've had him like sort of in this hypnotic trance in this machine for like the whole series. And his son, Koji Onishi, has been living with the Autobots while they try to get his dad back. That's one of the MacGuffins of the series. We got to get Dr. Onishi back. Well, Skybite decides one day that he's going to borrow, quote unquote, Dr. Onishi, puts him in this like sleeping pod, straps him to his back, and he goes out into the world because he's going to find some artifact that will make the Predacons all powerful. And he's going to use Dr. Onishi to help him find it. As he's flying around in shark mode, he comes across Koji. Koji, who is in the tower that Skybite saved in the Skybite Saves the Day episode. And Koji makes this impassioned, tearful plea. He's like, I know you have my father at your base. Will you please let me have him back? It's his birthday today. We always go fishing on my birthday. I miss my father. And Skybite's kind of torn. He's like, oh, I really feel bad for this kid, but Megatron would be so mad at me. And he's like, look, I don't got time for this, Junior. And he's ready to peel out. He's ready just to tell the kid to buzz off, right? Suddenly the Autobots show up. They see Skybite talking to Koji. They instantly think that Koji's in danger. They attack Skybite, right? And then during the fight, Skybite takes the pod with Dr. Onishi off his back, slides it to Koji, says, here, Koji, hold this for a second. Koji opens the pod, finds his dad. Koji misunderstands, thinks that Skybite returned his father. Koji stops the fight, says, Autobots, don't. Skybite gave my father back. And the Autobot's like, whoa, did you? And Skybite's like, yeah, sure, I guess so. And then he becomes a good guy. So, sometimes what I love about that is sometimes we can make the right decisions without knowing that we're making the right decision. Not every good thing we do, not every proper moment in life was achieved through some kind of epic, grandiose, operatic transformation of character, as lovely as those things are in fiction. I felt like the Skybite's changing of sides felt a little bit more natural and true to life sometimes. So that's why this guy works on me. It's all about empathy, and it's all about showing that Sometimes people do bad things just because they're just a little misaligned or confused. Sometimes they do it because they're seriously messed up. And sometimes they do it because they're, downright nasty or evil. I don't know. Evil is like a strong word, though. Evil, I think, is a word that best belongs in fiction. But I like villains who let me empathize with them a little bit. And I think that probably, contributes to my taste in entertainment, why I tend to appreciate much more lighthearted stuff and stuff for young people. Although I've certainly seen movies for adults that feature villains that are relatable and people who I can empathize with. So yeah, Skybite. You can find all those episodes on YouTube if you really want to give it a watch. I hold it up as like probably my second favorite Transformers series of all time. I think Transformers Prime, the best parts of Transformers Prime, share a lot of DNA with Robots in Disguise. Although I will also say, because Robots in Disguise came out in 2001, it was a Fox Kids show. It was imported from Japan. It feels very similar in tone and in visual style to shows like Digimon. So if you aren't a big fan of that stuff, of that visual look, you might not like it so much. Although, I just find so much of that show just utterly charming. Okay, who am I? Jersey Droz, cartoonist and teaching artist, boulderandfleet.com, Jersey on Twitter. And, I already said my art sound off bit, so I'll say this part here. The audio hosting for this episode was provided by Kablam, kablam.com, your one-stop printing solution for the independent comics publisher. You can get your books printed through their service. You can order copies for yourself to sell at conventions, or you can sell them online through the Indie Planet fulfillment service, and all the information is at ka-blam.com. Thanks so much to the folks at Kablam for providing the hosting for this show and for the Comics Are Great site. And I'll be back tomorrow with the final art sound off. And until then, remember, everybody,
as you saw in today's story, people can change.
Right, Teela. Sibylline had always been an evil sorceress, but she was able to change her ways for the better. Maybe there's something about yourself that you don't like. A bad habit, maybe.
It's easy to say I can't change, but the truth is, you can change almost any behavior if you really want to.
And the first step is saying to yourself, I can't.